And Johan will be sharing the sermon with us this morning. Welcome, guys, by the way. Make yourself at home. Johan is he's our elder. He's not old, he's just our elder. And he's just such a blessing. I've said it to him too many times. But yeah, him and Tani Rihanna have got a way that who's ever sat in the shade of a tree on a very hot day? Anybody? Three of you guys. What the heck are the rest of you doing? Now, it's just so beautiful on a scorcher of a day to have a pool and then sit under the shade of a tree. And they like that. They don't have to say much, but they just give the shade in the spirit to those that really need it. And so often I would have a coffee with them, Johan, and it's just exactly what it feels like. It's like sitting in the shade of a tree that is righteous and bears lots of fruit. So thank you, Johan and Tani Rihanna. Johan will be sharing the word this morning with us.
Thank you, and I must apologize that I didn't remind you about the offering. Before I start, I just want to say something. Jenny, this morning when you shared about Jessica, do you remember that day when we called you forward and we prayed for Jessica that the Lord will keep her leg? And I just want to thank the Lord for that, that He answered our prayer. And I want to say, when Retief gives the opportunity and says, is there anyone that needs prayer? Please put up your hand. You know, I have this niece, and that's about honesty, Karen, who has been in and out of rehabs for 25 years. And one morning here, I just said, can you please pray for her? We've reached the end of the road. She was really rock bottom. And you know what? She's been delivered. She's been free for 4 months. Can you give the Lord a hand, please? Yeah, so it's about honesty in this place because we're family. So can we just pray? Lord, we just thank you for who you are and thank you for that word that you gave us for this year, that you are enough. And Lord, thank you that you invite us to come to your throne of grace because your word says when we do that, we will find grace for our time in need. And thank you for the testimonies that came through this morning. And thank you, Lord, that we want to increase in that. And we just want to ask, Lord, that you'll have your way the next few minutes. You touch our hearts and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so, you know, every time when I get an email from Retief and says, he always communicates this message by email, funnily enough, not by WhatsApps. It's too serious. Johan, will you please give a message? Will you please preach? You can relax, I can't preach anyway. But will you please preach on the 27th of January? You know, my heart sinks. Because it's not easy for me. It takes a month out of my life every time when he asks that. Praise God. But the moment I got that message, I was reminded of the word, Jesus is enough. And then I was immediately reminded of the word, my grace is enough. So I'm going to talk on that this morning. And I'm so excited about my message. Please, I hope that I can excite you as well. Right. So, you know, we all know this verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and where the Lord says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And sufficient means enough. You know, and this morning, before I came here, I could have gone through my slides again, but then I decided I'm going to spend a few minutes with the Lord and thinking of my own life. From my birth to where I am today, 71 years later. And you know what? His grace has been enough for me. But I'm not going to bore you this morning with my life. I'm going to share about another life, which really excites me. So what is grace? The good theological definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. But I'm going to translate that into plain English. Next, please. Grace, no, back please. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. And as I'm standing here before you, and as I was thinking about my life, I just realized, God, I did not deserve any of this. Nothing. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And in Afrikaans, we only have one word, genade. But in English, they're always better than us. They have two words, grace and mercy. But when we speak about grace, you can also think of mercy, because you'll see in a moment, the Lord in the scripture often combines these two words, because it shows the heart of God towards us. And somebody said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that beautiful? God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, the next. You know, we all have a story of grace. I just told you, I was thinking about, as I can call any one of you here to the front this morning and say, tell us your life story. And you know what? It'll be a story of grace. But where did that story start? It started the day when we accepted Jesus. I was 16 years old. I thought I was a good boy. I was chairman of the Christian Society at school, totally unsaved. I didn't expect to be saved that day. Honestly, I didn't. This guy came to the school. He was he traveled between schools, and he was the evangelist. At that stage, I didn't even know what that was. But when he gave the invitation, I got up, put my hand up in front of the school. This good boy needs Jesus. And you know what? From that day, I was changed. A joy filled my heart, which never left me. And as C.S. Lewis says in his book about his own conversion, surprised by joy. I was really surprised by Jesus that day, and I was surprised by joy. So that's where our journey starts. But then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 15:10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And I want to tell you, if we see anything in any one of us this morning that is good, you can just give God the glory. It's his grace. So that is the amazing thing of God's grace in our lives. Now I want to show you a picture. First of all, who of you recognizes this guy on the right? Ralph Retief? Woo! You guys don't know what you missed for not knowing this guy. His name is Shadrach. He was a member of this church. Yes, and he sent me that picture on a WhatsApp on Thursday morning. He sent me a message. He just got his Canadian citizenship. Isn't that amazing? After 4 years. But you know what he sent in my message? Johan, God's grace is enough for us. And he confirmed what the Lord said I should speak on this morning. So I was so excited about that. I said, listen, Shadrach, you won't believe what this message means to me. Will you please phone me? So we the next morning, he phoned me from Canada, and we had a long discussion. I'm just going to shortly share his life with you. He was born in Burundi. When he was 13, he was orphaned at a very young age. When he was 13, him and a cousin decided to walk to South Africa, and God lives here and there. He arrived in Cape Town, French and Swahili speaking, not knowing a word of English. He supported himself by being a car watch. He took a year off learning English, enrolled himself into a school in Milnerton without parents. Pity Karin isn't here this morning. She was very involved in his life. And started standing here on Saturday mornings at Builder's Warehouse. For some reason or other, not some reason or other, because of God's grace, I tipped him very royally every Saturday morning. I don't know why I did it. I just tipped him like I've never tipped a car watch before. One evening, he stood in church and gave his testimony. And one day at the medical school, then our small group adopted him, and we said, we want you off the street. We want you to have time to study. So quite a few people were involved. We did that. He passed his matric, and one day when I was at the medical school in Stellenbosch, here, Shadrach was walking up to the entrance. And I said, what are you doing here? He says, no, Johan, I want to become a doctor. You know what? I started arranging for him to go to Cuba because we have a program of people like him can be trained in Cuba. And then when I was well on my way with that, he came here one morning and he said to me, Juan, I'm going to Canada. A teacher at school made an appointment for me with the UN. They're going to take me to Canada. They're going to pay everything for me to become a doctor. So Friday morning when we Skyped, I was still in bed in my pajamas. He phoned very early. He said, I said, Chadok, how are you? Now listen here. No, I'm Johan. I'm almost finished my pre-med and next year I'm going to enroll for medicine. I said, and Chadok, I want to know if he's still serving the Lord. He said, how's your things with the Lord? He says, no, I'm not as on fire as I used to be, Johan. My heart sank. I said, what do you mean, Chadok? He says, no, Johan, I used to fast 3 days a week and now I'm only fasting one day. Because I have to study. I said, in church? He says, you remember Tani Rihanna prayed for me the last night at your small group and she said that I should find a church. You know what? I'm a youth leader in church and I am busy with the sound and all sorts of things. And I realized, what a guy. Did you see that smile? And I'm going to say 5 things now about grace. And when I think of those things, I see all of those things in this young man. And he didn't receive this grace just by chance. Now I must be very careful because I've just told you grace is what? Unmerited favor. So it means it's not the flesh and it's not works. But can I just show you the next slide? I think I'm going to skip this a bit and just to move on for time's sake. Sorry, Nick, that's the Joel scripture. No, let's go back. I promised Nick I'll read the scripture. His son's name is Joel. Let's go back. Grace is all through the Bible. And in the Old Testament, some people think the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace. It's not like that. The God of grace is the God of the Old and the New Testament. And yet God declares himself in Joel 2. He says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. And this scripture says 2 important things about grace. God is gracious. He's always been gracious. But grace is a thing of the heart. It's not a works thing. Did you see that? Every time referring not to the outward appearance, but to the heart. And then the New Testament, the next one. Did you know that Jesus did not mention the word grace once in all his teaching? Why not? Because he was grace. He was grace personified. Everything he did and said was about grace. And I'll give you a few examples of that. So although grace is all through the Bible, it's in the New Testament, in Jesus, that it's being fulfilled. Can we have the next one? Now, I just want to leave this with you guys to be put things in balance. Just before the Lord told Paul and said, my grace is enough for you, Paul asked him to remove the thorn from his flesh. And then he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And it did not depart. In Psalm 97:5, we read, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Do all our mountains disappear like wax? No. The Lord did not promise that he will remove all our thorns and that he'll level all our mountains. But he did promise. What? My grace will be enough for you. With a thorn and crossing the mountain. And you know, I was thinking of this. Why is this so? Because as charismatic Christians, we love to see mountains disappear like wax, isn't it? Amen. Who doesn't like that? And we love thorns, to pull out thorns from people. And then I realized, you know, if we just had a level road or no pain, who would need grace? And God actually wants to show himself to us and his grace to us through the mountains and through the thorns. So I want to encourage you this morning. I have thorns that have not been removed. 50 years later. I still have to cross mountains. In December, Rihanna and myself had to cross one of the biggest mountains of her life. I won't even go into that. I won't go down that road because then I won't be able to talk further. But you know what? We experience God's grace in a mighty way. So embrace your mountains, embrace your thorns, because that is the way God can demonstrate his grace towards us. Next, you know what? Although salvation, we're saved by grace. I didn't read that scripture, but Ephesians says we're saved by grace, not by works. The grace that you receive after that is not handed out in little packets that all look the same. It's not a one-size-fits-all. You need grace today that I don't need. And I need grace that you don't need. But the word says that grace must increase in our lives and it must multiply. So we must never be happy where we are. We must desire grace of God to be increased in our lives and to multiply. And you have seen people who seems to have received more grace than others. They didn't work for it, they didn't deserve it, but their hearts were right with God. And I'm just going to touch on six things, which I saw in Shadrach's life, and also in other people's lives, who seem to have received a lot of grace. Are you interested in that? Would you like to know? Who wants more grace in their lives? Everybody. Right. The first one is, I'm going to read this scripture, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You can't just do what you want and live like you want and say what you want and go where you want, separated from Jesus, and expect grace to multiply or increase. Second one. We must acknowledge our weakness, and that is where honesty comes in. You know, we don't have to read that. I'll just capture it for you. In the time of Gideon, the judge, the country was being persecuted by the Midianites. And one day, an angel appeared to him, and the angel said to him, Gideon, you're a mighty soldier. The Lord is with you. I will make you strong. Go and save Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. But Gideon replied, Sir, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least thought of in the entire family. What did he do? He acknowledged his weakness. And you know what? In church and towards each other, I don't say we must now do it all the time, but there is a place, like Karen this morning, for acknowledging our weakness. And if we do that before the Lord, he pours down his grace into those areas where we are weakest. And you know, often is our weakest spots is a place from where God can start working in our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't be shy of your weaknesses or ashamed. Acknowledge them, and the Lord will use them to make you a Gideon. Next one. We must confess our sins. Joel 2 verse 13 says, we must return to the Lord. He is gracious and merciful. Return to the Lord means rend our heart, means to repent, to say I'm sorry. And that also applies to marriages. If you want grace in your marriage, you must learn to say the few words, I am sorry. We've learned that, few of us. Right, next one. You know, we must, to receive grace, we must be humble. James, this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture, James 4 verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As you go low, as you humble yourself, and some of the things I've already said, acknowledging your weakness, repenting, is actually going low. God will pour grace into your lives. Next one. And then we must ask for grace. You know, you all know the scripture, but please, guys, to know it is one thing, but to do it is another thing. There should not be an area of our lives where we're weak or where we lack, which we should not take to the throne of grace, because this scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Bronwyn isn't here this morning, but she sent a little clip on the Prayer Army group, which so encouraged me. Did any of you read that clip of the guy that spoke about prayer that Bronwyn sent? Well, if you haven't, it's still on the Prayer Army group. Please go back and watch it. You know, there is not a thing that we should not pray about. And Rihanna and myself had experienced this over December when we were in this very bad space with our granddaughter, that God's grace is enough for every situation. Right, next. And I'm just leaving this with you. It's interesting. It has nothing to do with other people. The Word of God says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. As we distribute the grace that we've received from God, what will He do? He will pour down more grace and mercy into our lives. Right, so this is a positive part of grace, but unfortunately I can't leave it there because there's two grace killers that I must just quickly mention. I won't expand on them, but I need to say it. And you know, Galatians 5:4 speaks about falling from grace. It is possible as a Christian that you can fall from grace. Retief and myself have spoken the other day that it's terrible when a big leader, religious leader or church leader falls from grace, but it happens. So the Word of God also says we can fall from grace. And what are the things that can make us fall from grace? Right, the next one. Number one, unforgiveness. I'm just going to read this scripture to you, Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what? I had a small group 30, 40 years ago. And a young recce who came to the Lord in the Dutch Reformed Church where we were then on the Old Year's Night, he gave his heart to the Lord. The pastor sent him to me to join our cell group. The second time he came to me and he said, Johan, is this true? I said, yes, it must be because it's in the Word of God. He says, but people don't realize this. If you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. I'm just leaving it with you. I have a testimony about forgiveness in my own life. When I was young, I went to England to study, to prepare for something that the Lord gave me to do my PhD on. Took a year of my life. When I got back, within the first week, somebody came to me and said, somebody else has registered on that topic. The exact words of my research. You know what's the worst thing about it? I knew who the person was who told the other one about my project because he was at another university and there was only one person in the department who had contact. And I had to face that person the rest of my working life. You know what I did? The Lord said, forgive. Let go. Just let go. You know what happened? The person who stole my idea never got his PhD. You know why not? The patience dried up. That condition disappeared from the face of the earth. It was a condition that waxed and waned. That turned me towards TB, which I studied for the next 40 years. And the TB epidemic increased 5 times from 40 years ago till now. So I had no lack of patience. Give the Lord a hand, will you? Yes, so forgiveness is a powerful way of letting down God's grace in our lives. And unforgiveness is a way for ungrace to happen and bitterness. So I'm not your questions, so I'm not going to expand on that any further. And then the next one is legalism. We don't have to read that. I'm going to tell you this story. One day the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, came to Jesus with a woman and said, "Lord, she was caught in adultery. And the law of Moses says we must stone her to death. What do you say?" Jesus made as if he didn't hear them, started making figures on the ground. And they started walking away one by one. And in the end, Jesus raised himself up, John 8, and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, Lord." And he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Sin no more." You know, first of all, Jesus was the one person who could condemn or judge her because he was holy and he was God. He didn't. But you know, we tend to do that. And whenever Jesus was confronted with people, he did not spend time and did not remind them of their sins. He spoke to them like the woman at the well. But eventually they came up with the truth in his presence and confessed. And then what did he do? He pointed towards the future every time. So we don't look at people and point to their pasts. Jesus didn't do that. He says, that's forgiven if you repent. The future is what counts. Can I leave that with you today? Right. I want to show you a nice picture. Next one. You know, I went to a 70th birthday party recently while preparing this for this morning. And I saw that thing there. I've never seen one before. It's called a chocolate fountain. And my children were there and my grandchildren. And what did they do? What did they do? They went there, put their little cakes and marshmallows under the fountain and started enjoying and sharing. And they didn't look at me once and say, "Daddy, Opa, do we deserve it?" That's how we are as Christians. We want to deserve it. That's what Retief shared this morning earlier when he shared about some testimony here. We want to deserve it because it makes us feel good. You know why they were there at the party? Because I was their father, or grandfather, father and grandfather. That gave them the entry to the chocolate fountain. And that is what Jesus did for us. Right. Next one. How should we show grace to others? Okay, you like this. We must wash their feet and not their heads. We must see them through and not see through them. We must give them the peace of Christ and not the peace of our mind. Will you remember that? It could change this church if we start doing that. Next one. Yeah, I think I actually skipped. Can we just go back two or three? This one. You know, I just want to say, this is important. I must mention this. Why is God gracious to us? Because there's people who have not received his grace yet. Grace is for us, but not to keep, hoard up. Because these scriptures say, freely you have received, freely give. Everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. You can put grace in there every time. Everyone who received grace freely, everyone who received much, grace. And then that last scripture says in Peter, we must minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward does not own something. Did you know that? He only manages it. So this grace that God has poured us on our lives is there. We must channel it to other people. All right, next one. I just want to end off. I just want to end off with a few statements about grace, which I think profound. They are profound. The first one: grace is accommodating, but does not compromise the truth. You love the sinner, but not his sin. You ask Jesus to touch your eyes with grace, that you can look past what he smells like and looks like, to see the person behind that, the one that Jesus died for. Secondly, grace is not cheap. You don't get more grace by sinning more. You can have an argument and say, well, every time I sin, I need forgiveness, and that's grace. No, it doesn't work like that. Jesus gave his life so that we can receive grace. So we don't sin, but we repent of sin. You don't receive grace by sinning. You receive grace by repenting of sin. Oh, I wonder what you're going to say about this one. Grace is unfair. Did you know how unfair grace is? Do you know how unfair it is that I'm standing here at my age, still alive and healthy, and many of my friends are not here anymore? What did I do to deserve it? It's unfair. Some of them were better people than I am, exercised more, did better things to stay alive for longer. But here I am. It's unfair. But the world is fair. Did you know the world outside? It's tit for tat. You get something for what you deserve. And there's a lovely story of a guy that said, I am leaving church because I don't find enough grace here. You know what he did? He left church. And he came back after a few months and he said, I came back to church because I found no grace in the world. You know, I just want to share you with this, a niece of mine who had the addiction problem. She is now involved in AA, attends their meetings. And I've got quite, not involved with this, but I know a bit more about them. They totally accept people. Totally, totally accept. You can slide back so many times. But when you come back and you say, here I am for this meeting, you are fully accommodated and accepted. And that is what church should be like. We should be more accommodating than the AA. But are we? I'm just leaving the question. Woo! Grace is overflowing from the heart, and it's not calculated by the mind. Did you see that chocolate fountain? Flowing, 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 never stopping. The children, I don't know what the parents did that night with their tummies, but they didn't stop putting their cookies into their chocolate fountain. You know what is the law or legalistic? You calculate with your mind. Does that person really deserve my time? Does he deserve my money? Does he deserve this and that? That's a mind thing. Grace is not a mind thing. It's a heart thing. It comes from the heart. I've already told you that grace does not judge or condemn, but looks at the future, and Jesus gave us the perfect example of that. Oh, and this last one. Just think of that chocolate fountain. Grace is sweet. It's fragrant. It's irresistible and attracts. I want to show you this last slide. You know, the Lord has given us a mandate for this church and said, what must we be? Kinsmen, redeemers. And I'm in a leaders' meeting with Retief and a few other people now and then. And then we ask, Lord, how on earth are we going to do this? How can we be kinsmen redeemers? I don't say it's the only key, but this morning I've given us all, including myself, a key. Because a flower that's beautiful and fragrant has no problem to attract the bees. If we want this church to fill up, and if we want to see that being fulfilled in our church, we must have the fragrance of Christ. We must have the, we must smell good. And what is in that flower? There's pollen. It feeds the bee. So that's what I want to tell you this morning about grace. And you know, I want to give you a little bit of homework, each of you, as you go home today. There's no time for it now. Just take a few minutes off. Just recap your lives. Just think back of the day that you were saved by grace. And just think of all the things that you received from God, unmerited, that you and me, that we did not deserve. Thank God for our thorns and mountains. And thank Him for His mercy, that we're still alive, that He didn't allow us to, you know, to go under, because of we obviously deserved that. And then lastly, to ask Him to fill us with this grace that will be so irresistible, so attractive, that people won't be able to stay away from us. From our church, from us, from our small groups. But it will only happen through grace. Amen. Thank you. You can pray for us.
Amen. I'm going to pray for us. Let's stand. That was brilliant. Thank you, Mian. That was really brilliant, brilliant. There was so much conviction in that for me personally, and I'm really humbled by that. Let's close our eyes. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace for a message such as this, brilliantly just hitting the heart, Lord. Hitting the tender places where truth need to be told. There's a couple of things that stood out for me personally, but I want us, you know, just to take the opportunity. We're going to do the homework. We're going to take stock of our lives and be reminded of grace as we come for the Lord. But there's just two things that I want to just quickly touch on. The first thing is if you've noted that you've fallen from grace, or that there's a tendency or a risk that you can fall from grace, and either or both unforgiveness and legalism, maybe self-righteousness is another way to put it, is something that really spoke to your heart this morning. I want to grant you the opportunity just to raise your hand so that we can pray against that as a church community. Again, we said so beautifully, we said that it is we go low, if we're honest, that He comes with His grace. So take a moment really to say, Lord, am I judging others? Am I criticizing the world out there? Am I criticizing the community or the culture? Am I criticizing family, Lord? Am I criticizing the church, Father God? Yet there's a bulk or a log in my eye that you want to just come remove. So just raise your hand that we just come confess and repent. Lord, we come and just with those that your Spirit has spoken to, Lord, we just repent any form of legalism or self-righteousness and also unforgiveness, Lord. If the Lord reminds you of someone, just forgive them. And Lord, we repent of both these things because we do not want to fall off from your grace. Thank you, Lord, as you shared that freely you have received, so freely you shall give. And so, Lord, as we forgive again, as we lay down again, as we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we all need it. Your word says no man is good. No man is good. Point blank. Can't change that. No man is good. And as you come and just come free us from any unforgiveness or legalism, we thank you that we just come and pour out your grace in our lives again this morning. Just come and pour out your grace. And then the second thing that really also rhema to me, there's people that do have a thorn in the flesh in this time. They do have a mountain that has not moved in the way in which they would have liked it to have moved. But I think and I believe there's grace this morning to thank God for the mountain in the season and the thorn. And for that, I want to just encourage you to raise your hand. If you just say, Lord, for the time being, I still believe that that mountain can melt as wax. I still believe, Lord, that the thorn's going to go. But as until the time that you do that, I want to thank you for that. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these hands. Thank you, Father. Now we come, Lord, and we just humble ourselves and we thank you for the mountains that lead us to grace. We thank you for the thorns that lead us into a revelation of grace. We thank you for the grace that you lead us through times of suffering and struggle sometimes. We know that's not the sum total of life, and it's, praise God, not the sum total of eternity. But it is seasonal. But we thank you for it. We thank you for it. I thank you for my challenges. I thank you for the thorns. I thank you for the mountains, for your grace is sufficient. For in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. In our weakness, your strength will be made perfect in this church community. In Jesus' name. Have mercy on us. Have grace on us. And thank you, Father God, that we know, we declare, that these seeds have fallen in good soil this morning, and it will reap a harvest. It will reap a gracious harvest in our lives, in our inner rooms, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, and in our church community, and wherever we go and impact this world, it will reap a harvest, 30, 60, or 100-fold. In Jesus' name, thank you for your grace. More of you and less of us, Lord. May we know you intimately. May we encounter you intimately daily. May we live from that place of grace in humility. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.